Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Governor Mike DeWine has asked lawmakers for an 18-cent per gallon gas tax hike, an amount he has called minimalist, enough only to maintain and repair Ohio's existing roads and bridges. But some state legislators see the problem differently. House Republicans responded with a proposed 10.7 cent per gallon increase and other changes. Senate Republicans likely will further pare the amount and offset it with an income tax cut. The state transportation director, Jack Marchbanks, has been at the forefront of the discussions at the State House. He joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. I'm happy to be speaking with you this morning.
The House and the Senate have very different ideas about the needs of the state when it comes to roads and bridges. What do you know about whether you're all working from the same playbook with the same blueprint?
Well, there's a built-in difference in perspectives between the Ohio General Assembly and the Ohio Department of Transportation. Their members see the world in two-year increments. By necessity, we must look much farther into the future than that. Any major interstate project, whether reconfiguring an interchange, as with the I-670-71 flyover on the Near East Side or the I-71 South Side megafix, takes on average 5 years, if we're lucky, from conception to opening it to traffic. It's our responsibility to think long-term, and to Governor DeWine's credit, he's agreed with us and put a long-term solution in front of the Ohio General Assembly. That's why that 18 cents that the governor has spoken of is minimalist, but it's what we need to put us on a path to a strong system for the next 10 years.
In testimony this week in the Senate Transportation Committee, you called the House transportation budget a step in the right direction. So you could live with 10.7 cents per gallon hike?
The Ohio Department of Transportation will responsibly spend whatever increase that the Ohio General Assembly ultimately approves for us. But we're telling folks that 10.7 cents will get us pretty much a maintenance program for the next several years, but it will not allow us to address 150 hot spots in terms of high crashes. It will not allow us to spend one dime on critical improvements to our existing interstates and U.S. highways. So will 10.7 cents allow us to maintain the system as it is? In fact, move it toward a better condition? Yes. Is it all we need? No.
What do you mean by maintenance? Because sometimes I think people think that that's part of dealing with hotspots and that sort of a thing. How do you define maintenance in Ohio?
We define maintenance in terms of taking care of the existing structure that's out there, whether it's sweeping a bridge, sealing a bridge deck, resurfacing what we call mill and fill projects. These are all maintenance projects. These are the things that we have to do to bring the system into good condition. We're not talking about lane additions or anything of that sort. We're talking about improving, restoring the quality of the system that exists out there.
When you took over at the Ohio Department of Transportation, what kind of path were you given to follow? Had they, your predecessors, prepared what their goals were and how they had been spending the money and what they would do?
When I accepted the appointment from Governor DeWine, I put in front of him my assessment of what was the situation at the Ohio Department of Transportation. That is a $1 billion hole in terms of deferred maintenance projects that need to be done but have not been done. And in fact, that need had been masked by short-term solutions, Band-Aid solutions, one-time infusions of capital. So with that said, the governor still appointed me. So he accepted that responsibility. He was kind of shocked. I kid you not, when I sat in front of Governor-elect DeWine and told him what the naked assessment, the unvarnished truth was of our financial picture, he kind of blanched. But to his credit, he stepped up and said he would help us work toward a long-term solution.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're continuing our conversation about the proposed gas tax hike in Ohio. And it's not just about a tax increase, but it's also about the condition of our roads in the state. My guest is the director of the Ohio Department of Transportation, Jack Marchbanks. If you have a question or comment about the proposal for the gas tax increase, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. The governor has proposed an 18-cent per gallon gas tax increase. The House has responded with a 10.7 cent per gallon increase and another $100 million to go to mass transit. The Senate now has the legislation in front of it, and they have said that to expect even more cuts. What about the House plan to remove the index to inflation? That would have been a big part of your proposal, right?
Yes, indexing allows us to not come back in front of the Ohio General Assembly for a while. I know they like seeing us, but we think it's more responsible for us to put a long-term plan in place. And that indexing, we think, would not have created a huge expense for Ohioans. We've seen in Indiana that indexing has possibly added 1 cent over several years. And with indexing, our calculations is that it would follow the consumer price index and that we would probably have over a 10-year period less than 5 cents increase in the overall gas tax with the 18 cents added to our existing 28 cents.
The existing 28 cents, it hasn't, the gas tax in Ohio hasn't been increased since 2005. So that 28 cents back in 2005 was bringing in how much compared to what it brings in today?
Well, ironically, you know, in 2007, when that gas tax, you know, when all 6 cents of the Taft gas tax had been put in, generated about $1.861 billion. That's 2007. Here we are in 2019, and it's 1.8 and some change. So when we say that revenues from that existing gas tax have been flat, the dollars confirm that.
The money that was the revenue that came from selling bonds with the turnpike money, that was not spent on maintenance projects. That was all spent on new projects?
Yes. What we call major new projects are major improvements to the existing interstate system. Anyone who drives to northwestern Ohio will see an additional lane on 75. You will see new interchanges. Those are what we call major new investments, where you're actually, you know, adding to the system, not creating a new interstate, but adding a lane, reconfiguring an interchange. All those turnpike dollars went to projects that were in the northern tier of Ohio, 75 miles from the turnpike, what we call the Nexus. So those projects have pretty much all been built. There's one segment left in the Toledo area that will be going to construction this year. But pretty much all those bond dollars have been spent. And again, that is not our debt, but ODOT has significant debt on its own. Our debt has risen from about $1.7 million at the end of the Taft administration to $3.98 million, and that's through three administrations, the Taft administration, the Strickland administration, and the Kasich administration.
Why has the debt increased if it's not because of the turnpike bonds?
Well, the debt has increased, and going back to that $1 billion hole, it's increased because we've been borrowing to cover up that shortfall. We've been borrowing to meet the shortfall. ODOT in and of itself uses what we call highway capitalization bonding and Garvey bonds, which are revenue anticipation bonds from the federal government, borrowing money against future federal gas tax receipts. So when you look at that borrowing, it confirms, it corroborates the fact that we've been existing with a structural deficit for over a decade.
You have warned of dangerous roads and bridges. Again, I think that we hear it so often, but we're driving down the road and nothing's falling apart. Can you tell us what you mean by dangerous roads and bridges?
What we mean by dangerous roads and bridges that are in a state of disrepair, you're talking about deteriorated pavements that might cause someone to hydroplane. If the pavement has hollowed out and is holding water, you're looking at edge lines, edge of pavement that might be crumbled. It could pull your car off the road if you happen to catch the edge of pavement. You're looking at deteriorating roads, creating potentials for accidents. So that's what we mean when we say dangerous roads and bridges.
Because this maintenance has been put off, have we seen an uptick in that kind of you know, in those kind of accidents in recent years?
We have had some good fortune in a leveling off of fatalities, so thank God for that. But mm-hmm. we do see an increase in crashes over the years.
That are due to road conditions?
Yes, due to road conditions.
If the, you called the 18 cent per gallon request by the DeWine administration, the bare bones, a minimalist approach. The House has responded with a 10.7 cent per gallon increase. The Senate has warned that they will come in with a lower amount. What happens then? If you started out with the minimalist approach, are we going to have to close roads? Are we going to have to close bridges? What do you do?
Well, again, what we're looking at right now when we talk about the safety aspect, we're talking about 300,000 crashes a year in Ohio. Those are a lot of crashes, 800 a day. And in regards to what we'll do is that we will responsibly spend whatever dollars the General Assembly decides ultimately to put into our budget. However, what we will do is that we will have to put these major new projects, such as the next phases of the 70-71 split, on hold. Next phases of the Central Interchange in Akron, on hold. The Interbelt in Cleveland, on hold. And we'll have to scale back our approach to doing additional safety improvements around the state. What we will do is we'll use that money to maintain what we have, our first core responsibility at the Ohio Department of Transportation. But those other things that are essential to having a safe system, a system that helps Ohioans stay mobile, we will be very stressed, very challenged to accomplish any of that.
What about the impact on local governments? Because I know they get a cut of the gas tax.
Yes, they do, but they will get a cut of a smaller overall pie.
Mm-hmm.
And that will not help them because, unlike ODOT, as we've emphasized in front of the Ohio General Assembly, they have not been able to access streams of revenue generated by debt instruments. The county, city, township, village level, they have suffered the same inflation, heavy highway construction. They've suffered the same flat revenues that we have, but they've had no other options. So they are, in fact, not going to be helped very much at all by the smaller amount.
And then the issue about what's the best method to address this problem of revenue shortfall, a big contributor to it is that cars are more efficient. They don't use as much gas, so we're not paying as much in gas tax. The House came back with a higher rate on diesel engines address long hauls that do put a lot of wear and tear on the highways as well. And they're also looked at putting $100 million into mass transit. Are there other ways to approach this than just a gas tax increase?
There are other streams of revenue that other states have employed that are accessing. You're looking at, of course, registration fees on electronic vehicles, alternative fuel vehicles. But these streams of revenue are not as robust. Our calculations tell us that if you put a registration fee on electric vehicles, it'll generate maybe $2 or $3 million a year.
Right.
That is a drop in the bucket in regards to the actual need. Again, you asked earlier what we will do. We will continue to save and be frugal at ODOT. Again, we have had, because of that revenue hole for over a decade, we've looked to save, to tighten our belt. We have generated about $700 million in operational savings, and we have 1,000 fewer ODOT employees since 2006. So ODOT is putting the funding it has in the infrastructure system that we're responsible for maintaining for the citizens of Ohio.
The State Inspector General just came out with a report that, another unbid contract went through ODOT. Now,
yeah.
It's pennies on the dollar. It's chicken feed, and I'm well aware of that. But
yeah.
How do you respond to that? And is there a sense that there are other issues in ODOT like that?
Well, I'm happy to report that we were aware of this situation regarding the IT consultant.
Mm-hmm.
My team actually helped the Inspector General pursue the investigation. And the person's responsible for not exercising what we believe is proper oversight or no longer work for ODOT. So we stress accountability. We express response. You know, we demand accountability. So that was, I think, an anomaly in what we do here. We are always looking for ways to improve and be more efficient and be more responsible. Ethics are front and center with our administration.
Jack Marchbanks, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You are most welcome, Ann. Take care.
Jack Marchbanks is the director of the Ohio Department of Transportation. They, along with the the rest of the DeWine administration, has requested an 18-cent per gallon gas tax increase. The House has responded with a 10.7% increase. It's now in the hands of the Senate. We're going to hear from a state senator, a majority leader in the state Senate, coming up later on in the program to talk about what they're thinking. Coming up, we're also going to hear about the request for a 45-cent per gallon increase in Michigan. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown, and we are the hosts of Snollygoster, WOSU's podcast all about politics in Ohio.
Each week, we chat about what the shrewd politicians at the State House are up to and how national politics affects us here at home.
Find out why listeners have called us a weekly must-listen. For a lighthearted yet in-depth look at Ohio politics, subscribe to Snollygoster wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. House Republicans last week paired from 18 cents to 10.7 cents the per gallon gas tax hike proposed in Governor Mike DeWine's first state transportation budget. The Senate is set to further cut that amount and offset any gas tax hike with an income tax cut. All of that pales in comparison to Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's proposed 45-cent per gallon increase. Cleveland.com State House reporter Laura Hancock has been covering the Ohio transportation budget. She joins us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Shayna Roth is Capitol reporter for the Michigan Public Radio Network. She joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm fascinated. Thank you for joining us because it's the biggest request for a gas tax hike in the country right now, right?
As far as I know, yes. There have been other states with the proposed, as you said, hesitant here, maybe more than that. But as far as 45 cents, we have not seen that.
Yeah, it's a whopper. How has it been received?
It's been very mixed. A lot of Democrats have really sort of come and rallied around it. The Washington Post had surprisingly an editorial saying that this was a great idea. But then if you ask many Republicans and a lot of, just everyday folks, 45 cents is really, that's a big sticker shock for a lot of people. And there have been Republicans, including the Speaker of the State House, saying it will not happen, that we will not increase the gas tax by 45 cents.
I imagine Governor Whitmer knows that. She put out a high number. How is she defending that high of a number?
Well, she's really been saying that this is the most fair way to get the money necessary to fix the roads. She has come out with a number of, I think, more than $2 billion that needs to be raised annually in order to fix the state's roads. Now, there's been some disagreement with exactly how big the number is, but we know that it's a very large number that needs to happen to fix our roads. And she's saying that by putting in a use tax, this is ensuring that if you are using the roads, that you are going to pay for the roads. If you use the roads more, then you should have to pay more. And she's saying that this is sort of a way to equitably increase the money necessary to fix the roads and also to, have better roads in our state. However, she has said that, look, this is what I came up with. I am open to all suggestions. And so she is kind of at this point waiting to see what Republicans bring to the table.
Is the transportation budget in Michigan separate from the general operating budget like it is in Ohio?
It's set up through the general fund, and there's sort of this mix that you can get in with federal dollars as well as state dollars.
Governor Whitmer made roads a central issue in her campaign for governor. How so? Were the voters, were Michiganders aware that she was going to come forth with this?
No, I mean, this was one of the things that I think that a lot of people have sort of glommed onto was during the debates, her opponent, Republican Attorney General at the time, Bill Schuette, had said, Gretchen Whitmer, she wants to raise the gas tax by 20 cents. And at the time, Governor Whitmer said, well, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. So that has been something that her Republican opponents have been sort of touting that, you know, she said she wasn't going to raise the gas tax by a lot. And then she comes in with 45 cents.
And what where was she miscalculating as in her campaign for governor?
I don't think she was miscalculating. If you speak with Governor Whitmer, what she says is, look, I knew that I wanted to fix the roads. That was an important thing. That's something that Michigan needs in order to improve its economy and to improve the lives of its citizens. However, it's something that you don't that you really can't plan exactly how you're going to do it from the campaign trail. And she says that, you know, once she got into office and she sat down with the experts and she was really able to get that deep dive into the state's budget and to speak with a lot of people about how best to go about doing this, that this was really the thing that they were able to come up with that made the most sense.
I mostly traverse Michigan, you know, just head straight up on 75 to get to the UP. Where are the big problems?
Everywhere.
Is it just potholes? Is it crumbling bridges?
It's a lot of infrastructure problems. A lot of the big problems happen in the Detroit area, mm-hmm. And in that sort of general area where there's very, very high traffic roads. And a lot of it is potholes. But we also have other problems with infrastructure in Michigan. Obviously, I think a lot of people are familiar with the Flint water crisis and having lead in the water. So it's Michigan has an infrastructure problem that's not just limited to the roads, but Governor Whitmer says that, you know, we need to focus on the roads and sort of grow from there these other infrastructure problems like our bridges and other and our pipes and things like that.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about right now Michigan's proposal for a gas tax increase. Governor Whitmer there has proposed a 45-cent per gallon increase. The Michigan legislature is considering that now. You've been listening to Chayna Roth, she of Michigan Public Radio, where she covers the state government. Also with us, Lori Hancock, Cleveland.com State House reporter. Lori Hancock, all of these issues sound very familiar. They're very comparable to Ohio. It's happening across the country, right?
Definitely. Road funding at the federal level hasn't really increased in years. And so you're at this point where you have bridges that are crumbling. You have roads that need to be repaired. And a lot of people would like to see increased capacity, new pavement laid down to make way for additional traffic.
Jack Marchbanks, the ODOT director here, referenced that as, you know, at the head of the Ohio Department of Transportation, he has to look long term. The DeWine administration has to think long term. State lawmakers think in 2-year increments. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think state lawmakers don't want to vote for, say, an inflation increase so that gas tax could go up every year because they feel like they would set that in stone and forever be blamed for it. And so I think that's part of it. And I think you also have lawmakers who are very concerned about low-income people and how that's going to affect them.
Chayna Roth, what about indexing to the rate of inflation? Has that been talked about in Michigan?
Not a lot. A lot of what has been sort of proposed has focused on, the gas tax. There's also been talk about different, sort of finding money from different areas. But there hasn't really been any other concrete proposals presented.
Is there anybody out there calculating what the impact is on tourism if you increase the gas tax 45 cents a gallon?
That's a really interesting point. Not that I've seen. That has been something of a talking point, although there hasn't been like any sort of clear numbers. But that has definitely been a concern that if you start not only with tourism, in that if you start increasing the gas tax, that people, particularly those up north in northern Michigan, that people aren't going to want to drive all the way across the state, mm-hmm. And that's going to impact their level of tourism. There's also this interesting argument that people who live close to the border, that all of those gas stations are really going to suffer because those people, instead of getting their gas in Michigan with that gas tax, are just going to hop over the border to Ohio or Indiana. So there's a lot of different arguments against this proposal in sort of various ways, but no real solid proposals against it by other lawmakers.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, how are they responding? What are your expectations that a 45 cent per gallon will get through instead of at some kind of lower level?
I think that from what I'm hearing, Republicans are sort of willing to do some form of a use tax, or at least find some way to increase revenue. They've all kind of admitted that there's not really enough wiggle room in the state's budget. You know, there's no more couch cushions to overturn to find enough money necessary to fix the roads. So they are open to some level of a tax or some sort of new revenue. It doesn't sound like 45 cents is going to do it, but it's possible that what we're going to end up with is something lower, a lower gas tax where everybody wins, where Republicans can say, look, we prevented her from increasing it by 45 cents, and Governor Whitmer can say, look, we got a gas tax and we got enough money.
Michigan Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey has referenced high auto insurance costs as a potential solution. What's he talking about there?
Michigan has incredibly high auto insurance rates, in part because of our state's auto no-fault law. We're one of the few states that has unlimited benefits. Mm-hmm. So what has been sort of a zombie issue in the state is how do we reduce our state's car insurance rates? And a lot of people say that we got to get rid of redlining and we got to, you know, stop insurance companies from charging you extra for things like your gender or your zip code. Other people say that no, the answer is to get rid of those unlimited benefits and not tell people that they have to have those unlimited benefits. And this is an issue that Republicans have been working on for years. It seems like every session there are bills to change the state's auto no-fault laws, but they can never get them over the finish line because there are enough Republicans and enough Democrats to kind of get rid of any ideas that they have. So it's possible, and there have been talks about some sort of combination of we will fix the auto no-fault law or we will make significant enough changes to it that will reduce people's costs as well as some other sort of tax. So there's kind of a talk of some sort of negotiation where we're combining these issues to get that auto no-fault changes as well as maybe this gas tax.
But it wouldn't affect people who travel to Michigan as tourists.
This is more focused on the people who live here and what they're having to pay.
Laura Hancock, any creative ideas popping up in the Ohio General Assembly about how to address this issue?
Well, I think that Senate President Larry Obhoff, his equivalent to changing the auto insurance, would be income tax break, cutting the income taxes. The other things that they're talking about and that are in the current version of the bill that's before the Senate is increasing, doing a registration fee for hybrids and electric vehicles. That's one thing. They're allowing local governments to, if they want to, they can raise $5 extra through per vehicle for a yearly registration fee, things like that.
Anything like that in Michigan, Chainoroth?
I'm sorry. I missed that last part.
Well, fee increases on electric cars, that kind of a thing?
Not that I've seen as far as other types of fee increases, not on electric cars, no.
How is Governor Whitmer selling this?
She's selling this as, hey, I have a plan, that I have a concrete plan. And a part of her whole proposal is that in order to sort of offset that extra cost for, you know, low income or elderly people, that she wants to get rid of the retirement tax. She wants to increase the state's earned income tax. So she's saying that by doing that for especially our low income people, that they're going to sort of level off that additional money that they would be paying at the pump. And at the end of the day, she's saying, look, I have a clear plan to fix the roads. If you have something better, bring it to me and let's work this out. But this is, but I'm the only one at this point with a clear plan is kind of how she's selling it.
In Michigan, it's all one budget. Laura Hancock in Ohio, there's the transportation budget, which must be passed by the end of the month. And then there's the operating budget for the rest of the state. Some people have warned that conflating a tax increase in the transportation budget with a tax cut in the general revenue, you know, that would affect the general revenue fund is not workable.
Right, because you have two different budgets and you have different timelines for the budgets. So the general operating budget usually is through, it's usually passed at in June. Mm-hmm. And so we have two timelines going on at the same time. And you have two chambers and committees. You have lots of ways that if income tax is decreased, that could be thwarted by another chamber, a committee. So, yeah, that's definitely a risk.
And is it a targeted income tax cut or an overall? Because more people would be, some people would be hurt more by the regressive gas tax increase than others.
Right. And he says he wants to cut at all rates. We haven't seen anything specific out of Larry Obhoff yet to see what he has in mind. A lot of cynical people think, oh, it's just going to benefit the rich. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, coming up, we're going to be hearing from Senate Majority Leader Matt Huffman, a Republican senator from Lima, who will be joining us to talk about these issues and how the Senate might respond. In the meantime, Shayna Roth, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Shayna Roth, Capitol reporter for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Laura Hancock is still with us from Cleveland.com, where she covers state house issues. We'll be right back. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. Governor Mike DeWine has proposed an 18-cent per gallon gas tax increase. He called it a bare minimum to address a $1 billion a year estimated need. House Republicans responded by cutting the tax hike to 10.7 cents per gallon and making other revenue changes. The Ohio Senate, also controlled by Republicans, is expected to further cut the tax increase and balance that with an income tax cut. Still with us is Cleveland.com state government reporter Laura Hancock. Ohio Senate Majority Leader Matt Huffman, a Republican from Lima, is speaking for Senate President Larry Obhoff, and we welcome you back, Senator Huffman.
Great to be back here, and I think this is my fourth appearance, which should entitle me to a coffee mug or something.
If you can haul yourself in here someday, we'll give you one. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
Senator Obhoff has said that he doesn't think the problem is as bad as the DeWine administration has said. And I asked this question of Jack Marchbanks, the ODOT director, and I ask it of you. Are you guys working with different playbooks? I mean, are you not seeing the same things?
No, I think, well, first of all, I don't think we're seeing the same things because legislators really by nature or by necessity, the way the system works, we're not going to know as much as the executive branch. It's true for city council members, school board members. You know, the administration brings what they view as the picture, but it's also our job to look at that with somewhat of a jaundiced eye, especially when it comes to raising taxes, and make sure that the needs are what they say they are. We can always find places to spend more money, but that doesn't mean because we can, we should. So that's the discussion right now.
A lot of people say that when you're talking about roads and bridges in a state like Ohio that has so much cross traffic going through it and is so, it is a very highly populated state, even though it's losing population, that's a real quality of life issue. How do you view it in the Senate?
Oh, I think we view it as a very important quality of life issue. I mean, if you talk to your constituents, it sort of interchangeably, depending on who you talk to, the issues, most important issues are education, infrastructure, and safety. Those are the things that people most often want funded. So we think it's critical. It's really in the details as to what the funding should be, and we would all like to have 5 times as much money to spend on roads and bridges, but we know that's not realistic.
The DeWine administration has also said that the previous administrations, including Governor Kasich and his predecessor, shirked their duties, that they went into debt too much, they borrowed too much money, and they didn't prepare a roadmap for the future, no pun intended, going forward.
Well, I think that's an overstatement. There are a lot of projects that went forward under the Kasich administration because of the Turnpike toll, the tolls that the Turnpike Commission raised. That money was used to bond out and do a lot of programs, and money that from the ordinary gas tax that would have been spent in within the nexus of those dollars were shifted to other parts of the state. So I don't think there's been a shirking of past road projects. If anything, there were more dollars spent under Governor Kasich. But really, isn't the point where are we today and how do we plan for the next decade or 2 decades, regardless of what happened in the past? And so I think that's always what we should be talking about, is not who messed up something in the past. What are we doing today and what does the future?
Well, I guess the point of talking about the past is so that the past isn't repeated in the future if it wasn't a good idea back then, the old-fashioned reason.
Absolutely. So I disagree on the fundamental principle, but we could argue about that or we could argue about something that matters.
Well, the billion-dollar number of they're estimating, the DeWine administration is estimating $1 billion plus a year in needs. What are you figuring the size of the problem is?
Okay, just to be clear, when you say you, this is Matt Huffman. I don't speak on behalf of the Senate or the Senate Republican caucus. I kind of have an idea of what Senator or President Abhoff wants because we've talked several times about it.
Okay.
I do not think that the $1.2 billion number that the governor has mentioned, including in his State of the State address, is anywhere close to the realistic number that's needed for new revenue. As to break that down a little bit further, there are many unanswered questions in this proposal. This is a proposal that, frankly, I wish we would have started talking about in December and not waited until, late February to find out about. And there are questions we have asked. And when I say we, our transportation chairman, Rob McCauley, very bright young attorney from Napoleon, has worked very hard on this, had, as I understand, a dinner with the governor the other night. And there are questions that he has not been given answers, substantial questions.
Like what?
About what?
What's a big question?
Well, it's not a big question. It's a series of questions about why line items. Why is there a giant growth in the internal technology budget for ODOT? Mm-hmm. And the answer is we're going to get back to you on that. And there's been a series of questions like that where we're going to get back to you on that. And that's why, I said this to some folks before. If you've ever served on city council or maybe a school board and someone comes into you and says, here's something, we're not going to have much time to talk about it, but I need for you to pass it right away. And I tell my clients this, I'm an attorney, if someone wants you to hurry up and make a decision before you have a chance to know about it, it's usually not a decision you want to make. And I don't think that that's the blame on that is the Ohio Senate for not just doing what the governor wants us to do. We need to have answers now if they want to get this done by March 31st. And we don't have the answers yet.
I think lawmakers are under, and not just lawmakers, but policymakers at all levels are under pressure, I think, from the construction lobby. And so I don't, you know, blame them for questioning, you know, some of this stuff, because I think that, you know, the construction companies will make a lot of money if an 18 cents a gallon gas tax is, you know, happens. So so that's some of, I think, you know, the skepticism.
And there was a little more of a delay than usual in rolling out the transportation budget because, of course, we have a new administration. Right, Senator Huffman?
Yeah, and that's always true. In fact, typically the operating budget would come out in end of January with you have a governor who's in a second term, but we know that would, I think it's supposed to come out next Friday or this Friday, March 15th. And so, yeah, and you know, I don't think this is because the DeWine administration has been dilatory or they're hiding anything from us. I mean, there are a lot of positions that are not even filled in the administration. My former legislative aide just went to work for the tax department this week. Mm-hmm. Now, so there's a lot of things, new people learning new things. If I had the numbers right, there are 33 new members of the Ohio House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough for people to come up to speed. So, this is my 10th or 11th year in the legislature. I can't just pick up a 70 or 80 page bill and understand what it is. We have to figure it out. And so we're not talking about simple changes to bills or amendments or tweaking. We're talking about $1 billion of new taxes. And there are people who are, especially in Western Ohio, who are highly subject. And I have to say also, and this was said directly to me, that they're to a constituent of mine, that they have a moral issue with the state of Ohio sitting on $2 billion in the rainy day fund and saying we have safety issues that are causing that, you know, could cost lives. And the way to solve that isn't spend the money the state already has, but to go to the taxpayers and say, give us more money.
Well, I suppose that goes into the category of some people thinking that the previous administration shirked its duties, that it was shoveling money into the rainy day fund when it should have been shoveling money into the roads.
That is a fair point. I'm not going to use the word shirk. What I would say is if you're going to take money away from local governments, including local governments that pave township roads and repair bridges, and take that money away and put it in the rainy day fund, well, maybe that's where the money should come. And I will also say, and I heard the comment about this isn't related to the rest of the budget. Well, it is. Mm-hmm. If we had not expanded the Medicaid the way we did 5 years ago, the controlling board did, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation right now. And that's why, not to talk about other things, but I've got a Medicaid work requirements bill. We had a lot of people quit their jobs because they don't have to work through health insurance because the government's paying for it for them. And that's hurt our economy. We don't have enough workers. So these things are all interconnected. And the people who are working every day, getting up, filling their car with gas, and for me to look at them and say the way to solve these problems are not to get that other person who's getting free insurance to go back to work. The way to do it is I want you to pay me more money. That's a pretty tough pill for most people to swallow.
Yeah, Laura Hancock.
In my reporting on Medicaid, because one of the topics I cover in addition to transportation is Medicaid, is that it's a $25 billion a year program, and the expansion has only cost Ohio like $8 billion because 90% of the expansion at this point
comes from the feds.
Yeah. Yep. And what the administration has said is that we had a huge uninsurance problem before expansion, and that a lot of these people, you know, regular aches and pains became like a severe crisis. Now that they have health care, they can take care of their health issues and then get back into the workplace is the other argument on the other perspective.
Senator Huffman, you said the $1.2 billion estimate for needs on our roads and bridges isn't anywhere close to reality. What is reality then? I mean, what do you think it is?
Well, to be clear, I haven't gone through and parsed through this and all that. I have a variety of other things that are on my list of charges from the president and other members. Mm-hmm. And so Rob, Senator McCauley from the polling has been the person who's done that. And I understand the number is closer to $300 million for the kinds of things that need to be funded that aren't. But I would hasten to add that there are a variety of other increases in the budget, in the ODOT budget, that are, as I mentioned, as yet unexplained. And so there are other savings in this budget that, you know, could justify the $300 million.
We've seen reporting that the Senate may consider some kind of income tax cut to offset a gas tax increase. How do you work that out so that the gas tax, or so that the tax cut offsets for the people hurt most by the gas tax increase?
Well, right. I think, you know, when we talk about ODOT budgets or other specific issues, we fail to see, and I sort of look at these issues that we deal with, if you had like one of the old giant mailboxes, the old style, where there's like 100 different cubby holes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just look in one cubby hole and try and solve that problem, you neglect all of the other things that are going on around you. And, but of course, you know, I had a great meeting with my county engineers earlier this week, and I said, I know you guys only care about this, but I care about all of the other aspects of taxing and spending. That's what I have to do. Ohio has the second highest tax burden in of any state that's controlled by a Republican legislature. So we are by no means a low-tax state. We are taxing plenty. The question is, where is the money coming from and what are we spending it on?
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are paying this 18 cents or whatever it would end up being are people that it doesn't matter whether you're a guy who makes $1 million a year or you're someone who is on Medicaid and taking care of, you know, three kids and your elderly parents. All those people are paying the increase, especially people who have to drive to work every day. And coincidentally, we do not, you know, all the people who benefit from the roads but don't pay gas tax, if you live at your house and Amazon delivers all the packages to you, if you take your bike to work on one of the bike paths and through downtown Columbus, the fire department, the police department have to be able to get you out, and you're not paying directly, those people also have a stake in good roads and all that. So to simply say this is just about the gas tax and no other taxes matter, I think disregards the reality of how everyone lives in Ohio. So I think that what the president was getting at was, hey, look, let's look at this holistically. If you want to raise money for bridges and roads and infrastructure, which we all want to be safe and all of those sorts of things, and we're already taxing our citizens at one of the highest rates in the country, where are we going to lower tax, whether it's income tax, whether it's sales tax, whatever the other cat tax, whatever the other taxes are that we have, alcohol, cigarettes, on and on and on.
I read that the Senate probably will nix the House plan for $100 million for public transportation. What are the concerns in the Senate about increasing funding for transportation? I think Ohio ranks 45th in the country in terms of its funding for public transportation.
I don't know specifically about nixing the $100 million. I think, you know, one of the concerns about public transportation, and I look at my own city in, of Lima, we have buses that go around Lima, and the regular concern that I have is that giant buses, and there's one or two people riding on them. Now, that may not be true in Columbus, because, frankly, with the concentration of people, and if everybody was driving a car like they were driving in Lima, then the streets would be even more crowded than they are,
right,
especially at 8:30 in the morning when you're trying to get to the state house. I am a little bit concerned when I see round numbers. You know, when someone says $100 million for public transportation, did all your calculations about what you thought you needed happen to end up to $100 million? Did the $250 million number, that was for another one, did it? So it was almost like, we got to hurry up and get this prepared, throw in $100 for that, $250 for that. And, so the question is, how'd you come up with $100 million?
Yeah.
Don't just put it in a fund and then have people apply and, hey, we're going to spend it because we got it. It's because that's the number that you need, and you've researched that and talked to the urban, the cities and other folks who are doing that. So.
Senator Huffman, we have to take off. Matt Huffman, Republican Senator from Lima, the Senate Majority Leader. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
And good being with you again. Thank you, Laura.
And Laura Hancock, Cleveland.com State House reporter. Laura, thanks for your help. I always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.